Our text for this afternoon's sermon is Psalm 84. I'll read the whole chapter, but our focus will be on the first four verses of Psalm 84. Psalm 84, beginning in verse 1. It's for the choir director on the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. So far, the reading of God's word for our hearts and lives this afternoon will help you to keep your Bibles open to that passage. Well, dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, when the great Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones was a boy, he was sent to live in a nearby town to attend secondary school. He suffered from poor health, and his poor circulation caused him to suffer a lot from the freezing temperatures there. He later recalled, "But I suffered at the same time from a far greater sickness and a more painful one, which has reminded me all along life's path. Which has remained with me all along life's path. And that was hiraeth." That's a Welsh word. It's difficult to define hiraeth, but it carries the connotations of homesickness or nostalgia. But for Martin Lloyd-Jones, it means, and I quote, "the consciousness of man being out of his home area and all that which is dear to him," end quote. Now, I experienced this, I think our whole family experienced this, when we moved, initially, when we moved to America. I remember waking up very early one morning and thinking, where am I? What am I doing here? I'm so far from the place I love the best and from the people I know and love the most. At that time, it was very early on, we didn't really know anyone at all, and everything was pretty foreign to us. And it is a horribly unsettling feeling. Sleep doesn't come easy for those who long to be home. Now, this feeling of wistfulness, of wistful longing, never left Lloyd-Jones. And throughout his whole life long, he was always conscious of not being in the place where he truly belonged, a place where he could dwell in perfect rest. Centuries earlier, St. Augustine, who was a bishop in North Africa, and Tunisia to be precise, in the late 4th century, had explained this feeling in terms of man's relationship to God in a prayer where he said, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." And so throughout Martin Lloyd-Jones' whole ministry, he came to understand that this problem pervaded all mankind. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, "Man by nature, man without God, is restless. Where can we find peace? Where can we find tranquility? Where can we find rest and peace of mind and of heart and spirit? Where can we find the point when all is well and nothing troubles? Where is it? Man cannot find it. He's restless. Why? Man, though he does not know it, was made by God, and he was made in such a way that he is dependent upon God. There is the highest thing in man, which can only be satisfied by God. Nothing else can satisfy it. And so the theme for this afternoon's sermon is, your longing heart and restless spirit can only find true fulfillment in God. Your longing heart and restless spirit can only find true fulfillment in God. Psalm 84 really captures the soul's longing for home well when it says in verses 1 and 2, "How lovely are your dwelling places, Lord of armies," or we probably better know it as Lord of hosts. "My soul longed and even yearned for the courtyards of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." This psalm was written by the sons of Korah, which was a clan of the tribe of Levi who would have served in the temple courts. We get this impression in the psalm that the psalmist was forced to be away from the tabernacle, away from God's house for an indefinite period of time. Now, many commentators suggest that although we don't know for sure, the psalmist may have been fleeing with King David during Absalom's rebellion. But whatever the circumstances, that meant that this man who had served most days in the Lord's courts could not be in the Lord's tabernacle courts at this time. We see the heart of this man who longs not only for everything to return back to normal, but where he can go about his everyday work, fulfilling everyday religious rituals in the temple. You especially see in his words, don't you, the desire of the psalmist's heart is to be in the presence of the living God who dwelt in his house. Psalm 84 is called a Song of Zion, which means it's a hymn that would have been sung as Jewish pilgrims journeyed towards Jerusalem in order to go to the temple, in order to worship the Lord in the house of the Lord. This is not a song of triumph. This is a cry of desperation to the Lord. Notice that the psalmist, he cries out to the Lord that he would be able to return to the house of the Lord. As we look at this psalm, we can see that it's broken into three main sections, which are set apart by the word Selah. Now, no one today really knows what the word Selah means. No one today knows what it was used for. But most commentators believe that it's a musical notation or a deliberate pause before starting to sing the next section. You'll notice in each of those three sections that each of them have a statement of blessing. Here in the first section, we see it in verse 4. "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." And that's really the psalmist's first point summarized. As we look at this text, I was thinking about animals. I know some people are more interested in animals than others. But have you ever noticed how easy it is for birds, as the psalmist alludes to here, or cats and dogs, to find a satisfying home in this world? Have you ever noticed that? All animals need three main things: food, shelter, and companionship. If these three things are present, then the dog is content. He'll sleep on the rug by the fire. A cat that's satisfied will preen in the sunshine, and birds will rest in the shades of the trees, and so on. But it's not like that for man. Animals do seem to be able to attain a contentedness far beyond what mankind can find in this world. Mankind's restlessness can really only be explained by our spiritual nature, which is made and which is suited only for a higher realm than this present existence. Mankind's restlessness can only be explained by our spiritual nature, which is made and suited only for a higher realm than this present existence. I watched a NASA documentary not that long ago about the moon landing, and it was entitled, What is Mankind's Greatest Achievement? Now, everyone knows about Neil Armstrong, right? He's the first man to set foot on the moon, who had that famous saying, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And the other man who set the foot on the moon is pretty well known too, right? Buzz Aldrin. But this interview in particular focused on and involved the third man in the mission, the one who circled around the dark side of the moon. And his name is Michael Collins. And he was the one who piloted Apollo 11, the Apollo 11 command module in lunar orbit, while the other two men collected moon rocks. It's not to make light of their work, but if it wasn't for Michael, this mission to the moon and back would have ended in failure. And it was a fascinating interview. And at one point in the interview, Michael said that he would love it if mankind went to Mars. Now, the interviewer asked the question that if he thought that, was it because he believed that mankind needed to go to Mars for the survival of the human race? And he said, no, he didn't believe that. But then the interviewer asked the most interesting question. Why is it necessary to go to Mars then? Well, in answer to that particular question, Michael said, I don't believe flying in space is necessary at all. But it's all something, it's something that we have in us. We go out at night, we look up into the sky, we see things that we don't know what they're about, and so we're curious, and we want to see infinity. Perhaps almost even to visit infinity. And he said, he went on to say, to me it's an intangible, but it's what part of being a human being is. It's this feeling of being. It's there to go, to see, to touch, to smell, to understand. And what he's talking about there is this longing, that there's something out there, just sort of beyond reach. And it's true, isn't it? You and I know, people know, that there's something within us that tells us that what we see here on Earth, and even in space, is not all that there is. That's why there's this constant pull in us to always be exploring, to always be discovering the unknown. First, it was explorers traveling in ships around the ocean to find unknown lands. We've done that. Now it's time to go to space, the final frontier, as they call it. Mankind is always reaching out, seeking, never finding, trying to find fulfillment without God. It's this longing that the Levite, and why the Levite psalmist pines for God when he's separated from the temple. Far more than these days, the Old Testament believer relied on all these outward ceremonies in the temple, the cleanings, the sacrifices, and so on. Without these rituals that brought him to God, especially the atoning sacrifices offered on the altar, and so the Levite's heart was grieving. He had this hole in his heart, right? A God-sized hole that only God could fill, and he could only find fulfillment then in the presence and in worship of God. There are not many in New Zealand society today, or many throughout the world, throughout all the nations of the world, really, that realize this truth. Everyone is seeking a home. Even in these COVID days, you see it, don't you? People are always seeking to return home, even though they are yet unable. We seek rest, we seek peace and belonging and contentment and satisfaction and joy everywhere else and in temporal things, but in God. That's why our generation is so restless. That's why our generation is so dissatisfied, despite living in an unprecedented time of an abundance of wealth and of leisure. Just Just think about the worldly and ungodly people and their restless pursuit of the next thing as they journey through life. The next toy, the next house, the next job, the next partner, and so on. People in our culture today, all around us, seeking out excitement and partying and drinking and drugs and thrill-seeking and in sex. But do those things satisfy them? No. For them, life is really only as good as the duration of that high or the next high and so on. They find no place of belonging, no home, and thus no true fulfillment and no peace. It's this constant pursuit of health, wealth, and prosperity, thinking that in those things, they are the things that will satisfy, but they never do. And so it's this unending pursuit of the goal, but never attaining it. Tom Brady, he was one of the most successful quarterbacks ever in American football. If you don't know what American football is, that's fine. He won three Super Bowl championships, right? He got the top honors three times with the teams that he was a part of, and I think since then he's gotten another three. But after getting the first three, he said, I reached my goal, I reached my dream, I reached my life. Me, I think there's got to be more than this. And the interviewer asked him, what's the answer? And Tom Brady responded, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. So for so many in this life, they have these goals and temporal things, and then they turn, once they've achieved them, they turn from whatever their career is to a romance or to a political career, or they adopt some kind of religion. But it doesn't matter what it is. None of it is big enough to fulfill them. None of it satisfies the soul's deepest longing. And so they remain forever restless in all that they do and achieve. There's no peace, no home for their spirit. And why is that? Because only God is able to fill the soul that He created for Himself. Only God is able to fill the soul that He created for Himself. We are created, brothers and sisters, to see God for who He is and to serve and live for Him. Because it's Him and Him alone that we can find peace, that we can find satisfaction, and that we can find the fulfillment that our hearts long for. Because our home is found in Him. Augustine was right. God has formed us for Himself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in Him. That's one of the ways that you can describe what it means to be a Christian. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven your sins. But that's not all that there is. True faith in Jesus Christ is not like a fire insurance policy against the threat of hellfire in the face of God's judgment to come against all those who don't believe in Jesus. No, to be a Christian means you have found your home in God. That you've found the true meaning of your life. And of having your great longing satisfied and knowing Him and serving Him with your whole heart, mind, strength, and soul. If you do that, when you come to God's house to worship Him and serve Him on Sunday, and really in all of life before His face, you find true satisfaction, peace, and joy. You find true fulfillment. You can say with the psalmist, can't you, how lovely are your dwelling places, Lord of armies. Having found God and having been accepted by Him and His Son Jesus Christ as a Christian, you have found your true identity and purpose and home. And that's amazing, isn't it? That as a Christian then, you can travel all around the world, and it doesn't matter where you go, you feel at home in a true church where the gospel is preached and where there are people that maybe you've never even met them before, but who also know and serve the Lord. Just like when our family was in the States, you know, you can find yourself in a strange city feeling awkward, very awkward, and out of place. But when you go and you gather together where God's people are, and your heart is peaceful and at rest. It's as though you are home. Well, why is that? It's because it truly is that God Himself is your home. In worship with God's people on the Sunday, you are brought into the courts of God, into His very presence, and there you receive the Psalms blessing. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Even though in God's providence we may be hindered from coming to God's house at times in life, we have to keep in mind that nothing can ever separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Then may that ever be your comfort as you long to return to the Lord's house and sing His praises. Because brothers and sisters, there is a day coming when either when we die or when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself returns, we will go to be with the Lord and will dwell in His house forever, where we will find true rest and peace and joy and fulfillment forevermore without end. And so may we, no matter what we go through in life, long to be in the Lord's house and in the presence of the Lord. And to that end, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, what a wonderful blessing it is to know You, to be able to come into Your presence, and to worship You. Dear Lord, there are times not that long ago that we desired to come to Your house, where we were providentially hindered either through poor health or through the lockdowns or whatever it might be, O Lord. And yet You've restored to us the ability to come into Your presence, to worship You with Your people once again. Thank You so much for that, O Lord. And we pray that as we continue to go through this life, that we would find rest and peace and joy and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So that no matter what we go through in this life, we always feel at home, knowing who You are, O Lord. We find shelter in Your wings. And dear Lord, we pray that You'd help us in those moments, those difficult moments, to trust in You for all that we go through, that we might point others to You, that they too, no matter how tumultuous the time they're going through, would find in You a place of rest, a place of refuge, and a place of peace. Dear Lord, we pray that You'd use us in the week ahead, that You'd use us to bring this word of peace and this knowledge that would fulfill to those around about us. Dear Lord, we pray that You would build us up in our faith, that in all the things that we face, we would find in You a wonderful Heavenly Father who will never let us go and who loves us and who will preserve us to the end. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name, amen.